The European Council has been in an emergency meeting today to devise a plan for what could be another rescue package for Greece. But Greece, which has 350 billion euros in debt, isn't the only country in the eurozone that has been having major economic problems. Last week, investors became concerned about borrowing prices in Spain and in Italy, which is the third largest economy that uses the common currency. Joining us to discuss the atmosphere surrounding today's meeting and what's come out of it so far is Ian Begg, professional research fellow at the European Institute at the London School of Economics, and I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show for this backstory segment. Hello, Ian.
Hi there.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy met yesterday to discuss the options. Did they come up with any kind of agreement?
Well, they claim to have reached a joint position that they would present to their fellow European leaders. We don't yet know exactly what that contains because the meeting is only just finishing as we speak. So when they agree, a lot happens. So that's good news.
Didn't the European Central Bank head, Jean-Claude Trichet, also join the meeting in a kind of surprise visit?
Well, the media may report it as a surprise, but I'd be very surprised myself if he were not directly involved in such a meeting because it involves very big stakes, very big commitments on the part of both the French and German governments as well as the European Central Bank. So it would be like having a meeting between the US and Canada on monetary issues and not inviting Ben Bernanke. Mm.
Chancellor Merkel and President Sarkozy lead the two biggest economies in the eurozone. Is their agreement likely to have served as the basis for today's negotiations?
I would expect so, yes, because there are two or three teams involved. If you look at the panorama of different EU countries, there are those which are opposed to spending much more, which are led by Germany. Those, such as France, which want to find a solution involving a bigger involvement of European-level governance. And there are what you might call the supplicants, the countries that are subject to the bailouts, like Greece especially, but also Ireland, Portugal, and those at risk, like Spain and Italy.
There are reports that the deal would push Greece into selective default. What does that mean?
If only we knew, Leonard. If only we knew.
Selective default.
I think the confidence trick that everybody's been trying to pull off in both senses of the word confidence trick, conning people as well as restoring confidence, is to do it in a way which does not oblige Europe's banks and even US banks to write down the value of the Greek debt on their balance sheets. That would have the same sort of effect as Lehman Brothers had in 2008 of risking financial stability and risking a freezing up of the interbank lending market. If that happens, we could well see a rerun of the severe recession that hit the whole world in 2009. So maintaining the fiction that the Greek paper is still valuable is a key part of this. So I think that what's going to happen is the definition of default that will come out will be rolling it over, making it cheaper, and extending the period so that everybody believes that 100 still equals 100.
Well, in the past, Jean-Claude Trichet has argued that Greece should not be allowed to write down its debt. But isn't this going to be something like that in effect?
Well, no, that's the distinction between a write-down, which is repaying 50, 60, 70 cents on the dollar or on the euro, compared with keeping it at 100 but extending the period.
Uh-huh.
That's what rollover means.
There has been a lot of talk about doing that in a number of cases, which would suggest that you're putting everything off until things improve?
Well, there is a compelling argument for doing precisely that. The reason being that European banks, very much like U.S. banks, are still fragile after the severe hit they took in 2008 and 2009. So enabling the banks to improve their balance sheets for a couple of years would make it far easier for them to absorb an eventual Greek default.
Well, José Manuel Barroso, the president of the European Commission, has said that action must be taken, and that commission has suggested a plan that would encourage investors to swap their older Greek bonds that are expected to mature in the next 8 years for new 30-year bonds, as well as a tax on Eurozone banks that would be used to buy back 20% of Greece's outstanding debt. But haven't Germany, Finland, and the Netherlands opposed parts of that plan?
They have, and the reason they're opposed to it is their public opinion and their more rabid newspapers, such as Bild Zeitung in Germany, take exception to bailing out to the feckless Greeks, as they see it.
But are they really bailing out the Greeks alone? Aren't they bailing out their own banks who've lent money to the Greeks?
Yes, but the newspapers don't go so far as to get that subtlety into the rhetoric that they're pushing. And what actually happens is, exactly as you described, it's the bondholders in France and Germany especially who are at risk from a Greek default. So bailing out Greece is, in effect, bailing out the French and German banks indirectly. But that's not the way public opinion sees it. They see it as being, why should we hard-working Germans work till we're 67 so that a Greek can retire at 50 on a very high pension?
Well, so isn't it the role of the government, the job of the government, to explain these things to their public?
Well, you'd think so, but there are direct parallels here with the impasse between the U.S. Congress and the president on dealing with the U.S. debt. It's very easy to see what you want to get from it, but persuading the politicians to bend to make somebody else, they always want somebody else to pay for it rather than themselves. So it's a lack of leadership or a lack of urgency about dealing with what is, after all, a pretty severe problem.
The EU is doing another round of stress tests on its banks. What are they trying to learn with those?
Well, these were completed and published last Friday. They showed that a number of banks failed, nothing really major, no major banks. And the idea was to test whether they would be capable of dealing with problems that would arise for a number of reasons. But these stress tests did not include a Greek default. So some are being critical of them and saying they weren't tough enough.
In the last 14 months, the EU has helped bail out Greece, Ireland, and Portugal. Is that leading to a sense of bailout fatigue among the Germans?
Yes, that is part of the political objection. But the objection in Germany also has a different dimension, which is a fear of the Constitutional Court. I can say this in German. Do you want to be impressed? The Bundesverfassungsgericht.
I am impressed.
That's about 18 syllables, if I count correctly. And this Constitutional Court has the power to say to the German government, we do not believe what you're doing is constitutional, and therefore you must stop. And that's one reason that Angela Merkel puts forward for having been as cautious as she has. Now, others say that the problem is elsewhere. It's just that she's been reluctant to take on public opinion and to show enough leadership. So she's been criticized as well for being very slow to react and not leading from the front.
Ian Begg of the European Institute at the London School of Economics is our guest on today's Backstory Look at the European Council's meeting to discuss another Greek bailout. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. President Sarkozy was the one who made yesterday's meeting happen. He traveled to Berlin, and Germany seemed to be cool to the idea of another bailout for Greece. So is he going there to kind of to convince Angela Merkel or to take the pressure off of her?
Well, I think everybody knows a solution is needed, and you can't keep postponing it. Indeed, one of the lessons from previous episodes of this sort is it's better to take quick action than to take precisely the correct action if there's a choice between the two. Now, the German hesitation has been about finding exactly the right way through, whereas what I think Nicolas Sarkozy is trying to do is to say to her, look, we must sort this out now and not let it fester on for much longer.
Even if the European Council can't agree on a bailout, are there other ways that they might seek to reduce the strain on the countries, like reducing interest rates, extending the amount of time for bonds to mature, as we said earlier, or buying back bonds?
Yes, I think all of that's on the cards. There's also a suggestion that other more indirect mechanisms within Europe can be deployed. There is, for instance, something called the European Investment Bank, which lends money, a bit like the World Bank does, for long-term projects, for economic development-related projects. And it's suggested that maybe the Greeks could be offered bigger credits with this European Investment Bank to put in place, let's say, infrastructure projects or educational reform. So there's that way. And then there are the solutions which many people in the market seem to think are necessary. For example, the huge German insurance company called Allianz supports a view that I've also been very keen on, which is that it's time to create what you might call euro bonds. That's collective bonds for all that would cover all the public sectors of the euro area, and not have them fragmented into national ones. What seems to happen is that the markets at the moment are able to pick off one country at a time and attack it. Whereas if you have a centralized euro bond, much like the T-bond in the US, it would be far more difficult to attack it. And a further advantage of following that route would be that there would be something much more coherent for investors like the Chinese or the Gulf states to put their money into if it was a single euro bond. The trouble with this story, the Germans are against it because it would cost them more in the short term. But I think it's asymmetric. The Germans might have to increase the interest they paid by a little bit, whereas the big reduction would be on the countries which are vulnerable. They might go from paying 5, 6% to 2.7, whereas the Germans might go from 2.5 to 2.6.
Well, the European Central Bank has warned that another bailout for Greece poses a risk for the larger economies. But you seem to suggest there were there's no other way to go about it. Now we have the added problem of Italy, which is the third largest economy in the Eurozone. Why are investors worried about it?
In a word, because Silvio Berlusconi, the prime minister, has a propensity for shooting himself in the foot. Maybe he's echoes of Dick Cheney in this regard. What happened is, a couple of weeks ago, Berlusconi criticized his own finance minister and said that he was being too hard in the budget reductions he was seeking. The markets didn't like that. They thought, well, if the prime minister and the finance minister are at war, then Italy is going to be in trouble. Now, that's been settled because the finance minister very cunningly managed to get the austerity package that he was advocating through the two houses of the Italian legislature last week.
So, although it involves spending cuts and tax cuts not going into effect until next year. So there's a certain symbolic aspect to this austerity measure.
Well, no, because it's medium-term plans that count in this regard. And I think if you look at the arithmetic of Italy, it's different. It has a deficit of just over 4% of GDP. Now, compare that with the U.S. deficit around 10%, the Greek one around 10%, even the British one at around 10%. And you see that it's a much more comfortable position the Italians start from, despite the fact that they have high debt.
Is Berlusconi seen as a reliable negotiator by the other heads of governments in the EU?
He's seen as a loose cannon, and I think that his influence in European circles is diminished because of that.
Should Americans be happy about all of this? Will the value of the euro go down a little bit during the tourist season?
I doubt it, because, let's face it, there's an equally intractable problem on your side of the Atlantic with the problem of the debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Which cancels it out. Britain must feel very happy that it didn't join the eurozone.
Well, there has been a sense of that good English word, schadenfreude, pleasure in the suffering of others. But I think it's been very muted in the UK. Indeed, often in Britain, the sense is much more, we need this problem solved because it's our biggest export market. We have big connections through the banking system. So we do not want to see things going wrong in the euro area. And perhaps surprisingly for a political party that's been quite hostile to Europe, the Conservatives in the UK have been pretty supportive of what's going on.
Ian Beggs, Professional Research Fellow at the European Institute at the London School of Economics. Thank you so much for talking about what's been happening with the eurozone and the possibility of another Greek bailout on today's Backstory.
Pleased to do so.